Welcome to another episode of the Political Prisoner Podcast, produced by Look Ahead America. I'm your host, the founder and executive director of Look Ahead America, Matt Brainerd. The political prisoner we're talking to today is Eric Christie. And Eric, on December 22nd in Los Angeles, just a few days before Christmas, you had, I would say, like a very Hollywood interaction with the FBI. Why don't you tell us about that?
All right. So on December 22nd, 2022, around 9:30 in the morning, the FBI busted open my front door to my home, shot out the sliding glass door in my upstairs bedroom, and shot out the skylight on the second floor. They'd literally climbed up on the roof and shot out the skylight. I was being SWATed, which means the SWAT had guns drawn on me from an adjacent property. I was under full-blown attack. And this was all over a couple of misdemeanors for attending the Stop the Steal rally in January 6, 2021.
Yeah, so like 2 years later, you get basically it's like a scene out of a Hollywood movie. And for two misdemeanors, and were you charged with any kind of violence on January 6th?
None. Absolutely none.
What kind of arrest record do you have prior to this?
I had been arrested before, but I had no prior convictions.
What were you arrested for?
For instance, I remember being arrested in the early 90s. Everything that I had been arrested for, I was completely innocent on. It was either law enforcement trying to frame me for literally everything. The one that comes to mind right now was in the early 90s when I was pulled over for expired registration, and they tried to turn it into a drunk driving thing.
Oh, but you've never been convicted or even charged with violence, right? It's like DUI. So you have no history of any kind of violent action whatsoever.
Right.
Charged,
right.
Convicted, neither. And
right.
Let me read my write-up because I get a real, it's very dramatic. On December 22nd, 2022, this is your FBI at work, as we're being overrun on the southern border by cartels and gangs, fentanyl's being trafficked all over the country, sex trafficking is happening everywhere. There's real infiltration of serious violent gangs and every other imaginable crime going on. Mm-hmm. This is where they decided to be on December 22nd, 2022. Mm-hmm. In Los Angeles, San Fernando Valley, the FBI busted open the front door to your house, shot out the sliding glass with real bullets or rubber bullets or what? Were those real bullets?
I don't know what it was. I know there was glass everywhere and my window was shattered.
So they had guns drawn on you from the adjacent property and surrounded you with a swarm of armed U.S. law enforcement personnel after flying a drone inside your home and throwing tear gas and a flashbang.
Right.
They put you in handcuffs, took you down to the MDC, and then moved you to the gulag in D.C., where I've been there. I've been outside a lot. I've been inside it as well. What a complete disaster zone. I really feel for you. Charged you with two misdemeanors, and you got convicted of it, but you're appealing it.
Right.
And you're released from the gulag. By the way, how long were you in the gulag?
I was incarcerated for a total of 11 months and 10 days. So 1 month out of that was in the federal prison in Los Angeles, the MDC.
That is... so, I mean, but you're appealing it. That's good. But it's just for two nonviolent misdemeanor charges.
Right.
All that.
Correct.
How was your time in the gulag?
The time in the gulag was very boring. I would say that most of the abuse was coming out of the administration. We had strict guards, we had lenient guards, but what would happen is around the holidays especially, they would cut off communications and act like there was like some sort of problem that they needed to work on. They'd be down for several days. That was common, them cutting off our communications. Also, they would do things like, I remember when I first got there in the winter time when it's 20 degrees outside, they'd stick the air conditioning on us and say that the heater wasn't working. Things like that. The food was not fit for human consumption. I was completely constipated the entire time I was there. Things like that. It was, but they had special rules about going outside. So, for instance, like if the ground was wet, if it had rained, they wouldn't let you outside. If it was a what was the temperature? They didn't like something. If it was 42 degrees or below, they wouldn't let you go outside. So it was kind of tough. The weather had to be just right to go outside.
Man, that is brutal. And I want to ask one other question here. Did you go inside the U.S. Capitol?
No, but I always like to say, because in the beginning, that's what people would say, that they would say, oh, don't worry, you don't have anything to worry about, you didn't go inside the Capitol. I said, no. They're going to take this as far as they possibly can. They're going after everybody. 3 years later, it's still happening. And not only that, but as we know in the Jacob Chansley case, where they were escorting him through the Capitol, when you say, I didn't even go into the Capitol, it makes the people who were let into the Capitol appear to be guilty.
That's right. That's quite thoughtful. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I don't want to sort of draw that line, but I mean, you didn't go inside the building. I guess you were on technically the restricted grounds or whatever, which I thought they had a permit for that protest anyway.
Right. There were six different permits. So, but I never was in the Capitol. I was always outside.
So look, you're out with time, sir, but you're still appealing it. I hope, I hope that you get some justice, but let's talk a little bit about the effect this has had on your life. So you went into this having been in the commercial mortgage business for 20 years, as a portfolio manager. What happened to that career?
It would appear to be destroyed. I mean, because after putting me through the system and convicting me and also putting a felony enhancement on the whole thing and sticking me back out in the real world and expecting me to pick up where I left off is not happening. And plus that being in a bad job market, you know, so it's definitely difficult, very challenging.
How have you had any luck in finding any work to keep yourself afloat or anything like that? I know that you kind of, and I want to make a little plug here. We do have the Jobs for J6 program, where if you're an employer willing to give a J6 Patriot a chance for a job because they've been so heavily discriminated against, I invite you to let us know at lookahatamerica.org/jobs-for-J6. But, you know, we don't necessarily have jobs that are a good fit for everybody that comes our way. And initially, that's kind of how you came to our attention, is that, well, we didn't have a good job for you, but we did want to get you on the podcast. So, you know, just because we do have an audience, you want to stay in the LA area, I take it?
That would be ideal.
And what kind of work would you like to have?
I'd like to stay right where I was, because that's been the bulk of my experience in banking as a portfolio manager, commercial real estate, that is.
You know, I actually, funny you should mention that. I know a guy and in the LA area who is sort of in that business or in that business adjacent. And it's funny, I never would have thought of it if we hadn't had this conversation. But I know him, I know his family. He's been a supporter of Look Ahead when we were in our incipient years, way back in 2017, 18. So, let me connect with him. Apart from that, you've been, despite being a hardworking taxpayer all these years, I also understand that the California Employment Development Department has denied your unemployment insurance claim. That's crazy.
That's correct. So, that's under appeal as well. So I'll be, I guess, going to some hearing, I'm guessing next month or sometime soon. So that's under appeal as well.
So look, I'm glad that you're able to come and get your story out about what has happened to you. But what I'm really curious about is what Eric Christie is going to do next, because so many great leaders in the history of civilization have spent some time in the can unjustly, and we all know their names. And I'm just looking at all of these J6 patriots who, in almost all cases, unjustly have been sentenced and had their lives turned upside down, been in the gulag, earned their stripes. And I'm just wondering, okay, who's going to emerge from this group and who's going to be a leader? Who's going to be something that's going to be a trailblazer to prevent this kind of thing from happening in the future? And it's going to take all that negative energy that they receive or on the receiving end as part of this phony instruction narrative and redirect it into the future in a positive way.
Why don't we talk about that unjust and that you're talking about right now? And if I could direct your audience to my Gifts and Go page, where I've uploaded a YouTube to my Gifts and Go campaign, where Trump's attorney, Alina Haba, after trial, talks about what happened in court in the state of New York. It's very similar to what's happening to the J6ers, if not exactly what's happening to the J6ers and exactly what happened to me. So if we can go back to the trial in August, where our Secret Service, my Secret Service expert witness, had been approved by the government and the judge pre-trial. And then at trial, after our witness took the stand, the judge refused to allow him to testify. So imagine that I'm in court at trial, and the judge makes my witness leave the courtroom. Also, the prosecution never provided any pretrial discovery or evidence at trial that the building or grounds were restricted under 18 U.S. Code 1752, the restricted grounds charge. So that's huge, right?
Yep.
And if I was explaining, if your audience could go look at that YouTube that I've uploaded to my Gifts and Go campaign, and you do that by clicking the arrow next to my photo. I put some other stuff in there as well, but the YouTube that shows Alina Haba talking, and this was just recently, like last week, where she's talking to the people outside the courthouse after trial about what happened in the court in the state of New York. That kind of crap is happening in D.C. and everywhere.
So just so people know, I'm going to give them your GiveSendGo URL. It's givesendgo.com/G as in George, B as in Bravo, F as in Frank, 31. GBF31.
Yeah. Also, you can find it by searching Google, GiveSendGo, Eric Christie, J6 Disaster Relief Fund. You can find it that way as well.
Yep. And it will be linked below in the podcast description. So listen, Eric, I'm very grateful for your courage to come on our program, even though you're still under appeal. And you actually put yourself at risk in what I would consider an effort to shine the light on the tremendous injustice perpetrated by the Department of Justice, the FBI, this administration, the court system, all the way around. So is there any... for somebody who's gone through what you're going through, somebody who may have been recently arrested, somebody who's facing the same things that you have already gone through since your time is now served, what words would you offer them?
For someone who's going through what I'm going through, but that's a real tough one, because it's absolute hell and you're wondering when it's going to end. And I was one of the lucky ones with a really good attorney who did the analysis and does the background work and everything.
Who is your attorney, by the way?
Carolyn Stewart.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. But I wanted to ask you another question. Have you heard of, do you ever follow Laura Logan?
Yeah, I know of her. I know of her work. She's been active as a journalist and I think one of the more respectable ones for a long time now.
Okay, good. So I follow her and I listen to what she says, and she's really hitting it when it comes to J6. She is, and so is Higgins. I forget his first name, the Congressman Higgins.
Yeah, Clay Higgins from Louisiana.
Higgins.
I've met him. He's a strong advocate.
Thank you. Yes. But Laura Logan asked this question. She says, what area of the U.S. Capitol was restricted by the Secret Service on January 6th based on the presence of the vice president? Why is this still not defined or known all this time later? This directly affects hundreds of J6 defendants. When will the Secret Service and the DOJ do the right thing? I think that's a pretty good question.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, we're just in such a mess on the right because if, you know, this has happened to the left over and over where they've gotten arrested, they've committed, you know, actions like this or identical to this. They have an army of lawyers ready to deploy instantly to give them legal protection and to run interference for them. Our guys, we're not allowed to have good attorneys. There were law firms, criminal defense attorney firms in D.C. who refused to take any J6 cases while they're more than happy to go down to Gitmo and represent real terrorists. That is something that I hope that at some point Look Ahead America can solve, to put together that legal team so that if something like this were to happen again, we're on it right away. And we basically are organizing mass defenses so that this persecution of nonviolent political prisoners can't happen again. And that's kind of one of my ambitions. But again, all we at this point can have is regrets, and you have to get past that. So we have to start having objectives and finding ways to move towards them.
Well, you brought up an excellent point, and I remember when this whole thing happened in the beginning, and they start kicking in doors, and so on. I remember thinking, we all need to find attorneys. Oh, don't worry, you weren't in the Capitol. No. They're coming after everybody. And I remember how difficult it was to find an attorney willing to touch a J6 case.
Yep.
And it's still that way today. Still that way today. And look what's happening in the courthouse. Look what's happened. Look what they're getting away with.
You know, I think this may be the first podcast we've done since we released the J6 question video. We're very grateful for all of our volunteers and our donors who really helped enable this, who collected video of presidential candidates answering the J6 question. And I can tell you, in part because of all the advocacy we've done, not a single one of the candidates for president just straight up said, no, those guys belong in prison. Lock them up.
Wow.
Not a single one.
Wow.
They were all giving answers that some of them were imperfect. And some of them did not go nearly far enough. And some of them demonstrated an ignorance of what people like you have gone through. But they all were attempting to be sympathetic to the cause of people like yourself. They all were. Mm-hmm. Some, you know, and I encourage you to take a look at it. But my belief is that the only way this thing ultimately gets solved is just because of how corrupt our justice system is. There is no justice in it. Is through some kind of presidential change, and we're able to get some clemencies and pardon. I think that you should be at the front of the line for that, and you should get back, you know, financial rewards for what was taken for you, and all of the attorneys who are involved in your persecution should be fired and blacklisted and working at Wendy's. So that's my
right.
objective here. I I'm swinging for the fences, but you do what you can, right?
Right.
So listen, I want to plug that that URL one more time. Again, it will be below. Why don't you give that to us again?
The Gifts and Go address?
Yes.
So it's giftsandgo.com/GBF31, George Bravo Frank 31. Or you can search it in Google. Under you just type in Gifts and Go, Eric Christie, and it comes up. It's the Eric Christie J6 Disaster Relief Fund. I also got a really nice clip in there where Trump was in the New Hampshire rally recently, and a woman was yelling from the crowd, free the J6ers, free the J6ers, free the J6ers, and he responded to her. He said, we will.
That's awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. You know, again, you know, Look Ahead America, we don't endorse candidates or parties or anything, but anytime we have a leading candidate advocating for causes that are important to us, it swells our hearts. So listen, man, you stay strong through this. You keep us in the loop on it. I'll reach out to my friend who's got an adjacent business in the Los Angeles area, and we'll follow up with you. And thanks for staying strong. Thanks for coming on the podcast, and best of luck with your appeal.
Thank you very much.
This has been Matt Brainerd with another episode of the Political Prisoner Podcast, produced by Look Ahead America. As always, help us out at lookaheadamerica.org with your tax-deductible, non-disclosed contribution if you like our work and want us to continue doing it. America first, America forever.